Thank you, ladies. Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Just a word or two about expressing thankfulness. Chapter 16, and let's just read one verse. We'll look at a couple of others. But verse 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. The background of this, very quickly to tell you so you'll understand this verse, is that they had brought the Ark of the Covenant and they had presented it here to David, and David had already placed a tent there as a very special place for the Ark of the Covenant. And as they brought it and presented it to him, those first few verses tell about it, and he's so excited about it. He's so glad, so thankful that this has happened, that he actually challenges the people and he writes a song. And he says, let's sing a song, and I want it to be to the glory of God. And so verse 4, and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. David said, this is a great thing that's happened, and we need to praise the Lord for it. You know, sometimes we are very prone to forget the blessings of the Lord. Sometimes we're very, very prone to forget what God has done for us. That's human nature, to forget all the blessings. Somebody said when your dog tired at night, it may be because you growled all day. Well, a lot of people just thankful enough for the blessings of God. And we may have, this is cutting in and out, so let's go to this one. Sorry about fights, these things. Now, we got it straight on, all right? But what we need to do sometimes is just stop and think. That's what David is saying here. Stop and just think, meditate on what God has done for you. And we need to always remember the blessings that we have. In Pilgrim's Progress, Bunyan was tracing the adventures of Christian and his wife Christiana and the children. And a friend comes into the picture. His name is Greatheart. As he joined them, they come to an area where he pointed out to the boys where Christian, the father, had a great battle with Apollyon. And right on the other side of this place was called Forgetful Green. Forgetful Green. And right on the other side of that was a narrow place where the battle took place. And I believe that's where a lot of Christians lose out. They come to Forgetful Green. Everything's okay. And they have a battle with the devil and they lose it because this can be the most dangerous place in our life. And Bunyan said it this way, for if at any time the pilgrims meet with any fall, it is when they forget what favors they have received. In other words, the thing that will make us fail is forgetting what God's done for us. Over and over and over in the Old Testament, he kept telling them, don't forget, remember what God's done for you. Over and over again, that was an admonition. I'm afraid that Great Britain has forgotten some of that. I'm afraid that America is forgetting the blessings of God, and we're seeing the tragedy of that. But not only that, the individual Christians sometimes forget to count their blessings, and because of that, we're at Forgetful Green. We lose the battle and we lose our testimony, and one of these days we're going to lose rewards in heaven because we forget what God has done for us. Now I'm going to hit a few points very, very quickly. In verses 12 through 15, we have the covenant of God we're to be thankful for. What are some things that we ought to be thankful for? Well, his covenant. In verse 12, he says, remember his marvelous works and that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Remember what God has done. Verse 15, be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. He's saying here, don't forget what God has promised. And you and I have something to remember tonight, don't we? God saved us, and God made a covenant with us, and you can count on it tonight. If you're born again, you're going to go to heaven. Amen? And I'm glad for that covenant. Thank the Lord that's the way it really is. In verses 19 through 22, look at those verses. He says, "When ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake." David wrote this song, and David said, "Let's sing it. Let's have the instruments. And we want to thank God for his covenant and for God's grace as he keeps you and protects you and watches over you. Thank God when you're saved, you have him on your side." We are to be thankful for that tonight. And then verse 25, he reminds us to be thankful for God's blessing and God's greatness. "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." Amen. He's great, and he ought to be praised greatly. He's greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. Of course, we know all other gods are false. So we ought to be thankful tonight for the covenant. We ought to be thankful for his greatness and his protection. And because of that, in verse 27, he says, "Give God the glory." Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. God deserves all the honor and the praise and the glory tonight. Now, a number of people were complimented tonight in the testimonies, and that's encouraging, and that's a blessing. But let me tell you, the final line is this: give God the glory. Give God the glory for anything that is accomplished in my life and in your life. He is a divine creator, and he needs to receive all the glory. And if we acknowledge his power, the omnipotence of Almighty God, we're going to give him glory. Glory is due him. That's what he's saying in verse 29. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." We ought to give him glory. Why? He's due that glory. Don't you think our God is worthy to be glorified, worthy to be praised, worthy to be bragged on, worthy to give thanks to? That's the God that we have. Give him the glory. Acknowledge who he is. We owe it to him. And by the way, God likes to be praised. God likes to receive glory. Not that he's insufficient. Not that he's inferior. It's just the nature of God that he wants us to bring honor and glory to him. And if anybody should do it, look, he says in the next few verses, verses 32 and 33, that all nature is going to glorify God. "Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice in all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth." Listen, if nature praises the Lord, you and I who are redeemed by his grace, we ought to praise him. We ought to give him honor. We ought to give him glory for what he's done. He is due it. He is due the glory. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, how are we going to do it? Very quickly. One of the things David says, go back in the first part of that in verse 5. And he appointed people to do all of these things. We're going to praise him in these ways. But he lines up Asaph, the chief, next to him, Zechariah, then all these other names, John and Bill and Sam here, and they were all playing on the harps and the psalteries and, yes, Baptists, the cymbals and the trumpets. He said, "Look, let's praise God in music. That's one way we can praise him. Let's sing to the glory of God." It always bothers me when I look out on Sunday morning and I scan the congregation and somebody's not singing. We're all singing and people are smiling and some are maybe shouting because of the song. And then you see some going, and I'm wondering, what's wrong with their heart? Let's sing praises to God. God wants us to sing praises to him. And by the way, I'm glad we're still singing the good old songs that have some meaning to them. Not that everybody else isn't, but I'm glad we are who we are, singing like we sing, and that our songs are theologically correct, and they have some depth to them. And I believe the vast majority of them, it is our goal that they honor and glorify God and lift him up. And I'm glad we still have that kind of church. Call it whatever you want to call it, traditional, it does conservative, that's all right with me. But I thank God that we still have senior saints, as somebody's already mentioned. You see, the church wouldn't be here. A lot of churches say, "We don't want the old people. Let's get rid of them." Get them out. We can have all of this other stuff. Thank God we love our senior saints. And we're glad they're here. And the pew you're sitting on, a whole lot of it was probably paid for by them one way or the other over the years. And we want to do that. Sing praises. David says, this is a big deal. This is not a minor thing. He says, let's get excited about it. Let's give praise to God. Let's sing. Let's crank up the instruments and let them be for the glory of God. And then we're to seek, not only sing, but seek, verses 10 and 11. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face. Oh, to God, if we just get that, if we just seek his face, that means his approval, intimacy with God, knowing God, spending time with God. Seek the Lord. In other words, once you get saved, thank God that ought to be your life's pursuit. Seeking God, knowing God, growing in the Lord. And how do we do that? You've already heard it, by prayer, by Bible reading, by meditating, and by thinking about the things of God, and sometimes even by fasting as we grow in the Lord. And then we ought to share. Verses 23, 24, and 31. Verse 23 says, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Show it to others. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nations. And then in verse 31, the same theme. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Those are strong verses, I believe, about missions. We ought to share the gospel. You see, it's not enough for us to have the song. We need to give it to somebody else. We need to take it to somebody else. I'm glad we're a missions-minded church. And our missionaries win people to Christ, and then they get a song in their heart, a new song down in their heart, and they too can sing praises and glory to God. And David said, take all of this excitement and all of this praise and take it out to those that are yet unsaved, that they might come to know me and might come to know God. We're to share. And then I think that means we ought to testify, but we certainly ought to serve. I said earlier, I'm glad that we have new members who are coming into our church. And I was watching so many of them that are here tonight who were giving their testimonies, and they got busy. They came right in and got busy. I believe God's people ought to do that, and they ought to serve. Verses 4 through 6, where he's talking about each one having a place, playing a certain instrument, and he's talking in verse 4 about the Levites that he had appointed to do what? To minister, to serve. If you're thankful tonight, one of the things and one of the ways that you can express that thanksgiving is by serving Almighty God, serving the Lord, and then by sacrificing. Verses 28 and 29. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give him the right praise. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Watch this. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bring an offering to the Lord. If we're thankful to God, we want to give to God's word. Amen. I don't know anybody who understands what salvation is really about and understands the Bible, what the Bible says, that would not want to serve God and to give to God. It's no problem to give to God when you love God. He's worthy of a portion of all the blessings that he gives us. I cannot imagine being a thief and a robber and cheating from God what rightly belongs to him, and it's more than the tithe. That's Old Testament. That's Old Testament legalism, giving just 10%. We're to give above the tithe, to give out of our hearts, to give out of the abundance of how God has blessed us. And if we're thankful, that'll be no problem for us to do that, because giving expresses thanksgiving. And look at the conclusion. I hope you feel this way after this brief message. Blessed be the Lord God, verse 36, of Israel, forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. So can you say amen tonight? to these truths, and let's praise the Lord together. By the way, in verse 29, he says it ought to be in holiness. Amen? In holiness. All of the praise and all the glory, all the thanksgiving ought to be done in holiness, a pure heart. Is your heart right with God tonight as a believer? We're going to have the Lord's Supper in a minute. You need to search your heart as I'll search my heart. May God help us to do what He leads us to do, whatever that may be. Let's stand, please.